favorite time of the year? Leap year. Janet, you're on to me. Alright. Where do most people eat on leap day? IHOP. What do athletes wear on leap day? Jumpsuits. So, we just had leap day. Leap day in our family, I don't know if you know, my one son was born on leap day. So he actually just turned, he's six years old. So he's 6 years old as a Friday. It's always a big deal, right? So we always have this big party. And so his wife planned this party for him and, had the great time. But leap day. So when he was born, you know, we weren't kind of even thinking that he'd be born on leap day. So at first his middle name is Leap. And kids and people born on leap day, they're known as leaplings. Cause it's pretty rare, I think, how many millions of people have been born on leap day compared to the rest of the world. It's a select group. But, so I was always wondered about leap day. So Julius Caesar, do you know why we have it? And like the whole, like really, what's it matter if we add an extra day every 4 years? What's the big, in my mind, I was like, what's the big deal? Like, who cares? What's the calendar would be messed up. That's right. So, Julius Caesar, started, like, they looked at how the rotation of the earth is and the sun and, like, how it all lines up for the seasons. If we didn't add a day, they say in a couple hundred years, summer would be in November. So that's why we add it. So it helps everybody understand farmers when to plant, what keeps everything kind of in sync. But Julius Caesar looked at, because there was a bunch of different ways they did it, and Julius Caesar looked at the calendar of how the Egyptians did their calendar, and they had a 365-day calendar, and he thought that looked like the best, you know, when they looked at astronomy and everything else together. And then they added the day every 4 years, and we still do that today. So, leap day. And they say if we didn't, it's estimated that, our calendar still isn't quite right. So we still will be off, and I think it says, in 3,030 years, our calendar will be off by a day. So that's still a little bit off. So maybe in 3,030 years, they'll add a day and then that will be good again for another 3,030 years. But we will be out of here. So we're continuing to walk through Titus. And this morning, the title of the message is, what group are you in? And now we're going to be just kind of focusing in on five verses today. And once again, Titus, run down again. Paul, Timothy, and Titus are two books given to the church, given to like the pastoral teachings, pastoral epistles on how to organize, set up, why this stuff happens in the church. Paul gave this to Timothy, and that's where we're at. He gave it to Titus as he was working in Crete. So this morning, starting in Titus 2, 1 through 5 is where we're going to be focused on this morning. I'm going to read it here, and then we'll walk through it. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Paul's telling Timothy, Titus. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands. When we touch on that one today, now I was thinking to myself, when we touch on that subject, I can either be a hero today with my wife, or I can get beat down today when we go over that subject. Just because that is a touchy subject in today's world, to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. This morning we're going to look at those things that Paul told Titus. These things are important for different groups within the church. Father, as we look at this morning, we are your church. We want to honor you. We know that there's different groups of people, old, young, different generations, different mindsets, all this stuff that we deal with in our world and our society today. Lord, help us to understand how best to put your principles out of Scripture into our world where we live right now, to be true to sound doctrine. In your name we pray. Amen. Sound doctrine. What is important? Last week we ended, Paul ended telling Titus in chapter 1, he looked at the false teachers. And he said in the end of 1, he said, what were the false teachers? They were unfit. They were disobedient. They're unfit, detestable, unfit for doing anything good. Then he turns and says, now, he says, he goes to Titus, this is what you are to teach. So Titus, a young guy, Gentile, worked with the Cretan people. He's given these specific instructions, which, don't you think it's wise if Paul's giving instructions to Titus on how to set the church up, that we should listen to that today? I think that would be pretty wise, don't you? I mean, Scripture is wise. Paul was wise. Sorry, I've been tickly throat all week. So Paul says right away, he says, what is important? Sound doctrine is important. Sound doctrine. Those two words together, sound. I started thinking about that. Sound doctrine, like when we think of sound, it's one of those words that there's multiple meanings, sound, right? So sound, there's a sound. That's a sound. It's a vibration of something. It's a definition of a sound, a noise. When you hit it, it's a vibration. It travels through the air until it reaches your ear, and then you hear a sound. That's one definition of sound. There's another, another definition of sound? A body of water. Do you know what the definition of a sound in a bay is? I researched this one last night because I knew we'd get to that. And I always wondered why either. I was like, why do they call it a sound? So a bay is a body of water, coastal land, that connects to another body of water, only one, a big, like the ocean. So a bay has one connection to the ocean. That's a bay. A sound is a body of water that has multiple connections, two or more connections to a body of water. So that's the difference between a sound. So if you're thinking like the Delaware Bay, it kind of rolls, or the Chesapeake Bay rolls right down, and the main connection is at the ocean. If you think of the grassy land swamp bay or sound in Jersey or whatever, it's kind of like multiple sections coming in to that sound. So that's that. The Greek word for being sound, the translation that was used here for sound is good health. So the Greeks would talk about to be sound, it would be to be in good health, mentally, physically, to be in good health. So if you are in good health, you're doing good, right? Things are well. If you have a hurt I have carpal tunnel. So when my carpal tunnel acts up, guess what? I'm not too healthy in the hand. So it's not like a sound hand. It's not as strong and healthy as something else, as it should be when it's not acting up. So the Greek translation for sound was to be healthy, in good health. So we have that word, and then you have doctrine. And doctrine, which we talk about all the time, but doctrine is specifically comes down to teaching and instruction. So Paul's telling Timothy, you need to be teaching sound doctrine, healthy, correct, physically fit, fit doctrine that needs to be implemented into these people. And then we get into the groups of people, and that's what we're going to look at. And we get this breakdown of people. And I wanted to kind of keep it short today on the groups of people. As we, I'll be gone next week, but the following week we'll jump into the remainder of the groups. But we're going to look at the groups this morning. Group number one. Paul talks about, he said, to older men. And he pulls this out. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-control. And then he rolls back again to sound. Back to the sound. And I looked at that the other day and I was like, so he calls out to older men, which I'm not sure how old Titus was. He was a younger man and he's teaching older men. But here Paul specifically comes back and uses the word sound, which means healthy. So in verse 2, it says, teach the older men to be temperate. We'll go over that. Worthy of respect, self-controlled, and then sound. Older men, they're supposed to be healthy, sound, healthy in this specific area of their life, healthy in faith, healthy in love, and healthy in endurance. That's where these men were supposed to be. They're supposed to be healthy in these areas of their life. So yeah, they're supposed to be temperate, which we know the definition of being temperate, not like super extreme on either side. We know worthy of respect. How many people do you know that if they're not temperate, right, they go off the handle, or they sometimes you lose respect for people when you see them acting a certain way because you're like, what in the world are they thinking? What are they doing? That they're supposed to be worthy of respect, but then it came back, and that's what really caught my eye, of those sound in faith, healthy in your faith, healthy in love, and endurance. Hebrews 11:1, it's my favorite verse, says this. I always love this verse because it's Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. Certain of what we don't see. Hebrews 11:1. This is where faith, and this is where Paul's telling Titus, these guys, the people, these older men, need to be sound in their faith. Last night, we were at DJ service down in Coachville. And on the wall, so the church is, it's been there a long time, and on the wall they have a banner, and the other pastor who they have the Sundays open has this banner out, and the church was really struggling as well, and they were looking at closing the church down. So when DJ's church kind of came in, they're sharing the space. So I was looking at the banner on the wall, and they have their vision, they have their, they have all this stuff they want to accomplish. And on the list it said, to have men, young men, and men fully active, to be active in their congregation. And I took note of that because I was looking at this and sound, you know, young men, old men. We're looking at old men right now. But I asked the pastor afterwards, I said, how's that going? He said, you know what? It was going good for a couple years, and then all the men disappeared. There's no men. Men aren't standing up. Men aren't sound in their faith, which we are told here to be sound in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. What is love? Because this kind of rolls into the other text. Chapter 13, starting in verse 2, says this. Verse 2. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. This is specifically to older men, this group, older men, men. This is specific to you. Sound in faith. Sound in love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps, Jeff, remember that one, Jeff. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Older men. Sound in faith, sound in love, and sound in endurance. Those three things are very important for older men. Endurance. We're going to jump over real quick to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run, men, in such a way as to get the prize. Endurance. When things get hard, do we give up? And things, I mean, let's face it, when things, all in all aspects, things can get hard financially, things can get hard via temptations, things can get hard in relationships. Endurance is one of these qualities that men need to maintain endurance. Run the race for the prize. Not like we see in like sports teams today. Everyone gets a prize. If you participate, you get a prize. That sounds great, but the reality, that doesn't work all the time, does it? You can say, hey, here's your participation award. You know, that's your jersey or that's the something else. But the best person, we like it or not, there's always somebody that's standing out, that's running, that has the endurance, that can push through when it gets super hard because they are sound in endurance. That's what I'm telling Titus. Men, sound in faith, sound in love, sound in endurance. Speaking to older men, if we're not there, if you're not there, if I'm not there, reality check on ourselves. Am I there where I'm supposed to be? Sound in those areas as men. Jump into verse 3. Titus, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live. not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine. So I guess as a woman, an older woman, if you want to crack the bottle a little bit, it might be okay. I'm just saying, I wouldn't recommend it. But if you do, don't be a drunkard. That's what I'm reading. Older women, don't be a drunk woman. Don't be a slanderer. How many times? And I know younger women, I know older women. I've had my mother, I've had my grandmother, I have a mother-in-law, so I've known women both young and old, all sorts of personalities. And you see so many times that there's, which we all do, there's a tend to gossip, there's a tend to slander, there's a tendency to talk about other people, older women. Paul's saying, he's telling Titus to teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live. Respectful. That's reverent, to be respectful in the way they live, not to be slanderers, gossiping about other people, talking about other people, how bad somebody is or how ugly somebody is. You see that on social media all the time, don't you? Like, you see it. Like, people slam each other on social media all the time. They gossip. They're slanderers. Or addicted to much wine. But teach what? Teach what? Teach what is good. Well, what's good? What's good? What Paul was talking about here is probably different than what society says is good today, right? So what's good? They're supposed to teach what's good. Then we find out in verse 4. I like this separation here, because I think it could save a lot of people and a lot of heartache. And I'm not sure if that's the purpose of why it's written this way, but this is how I'm pulling it out, because this is what I see in verse 4. Then the older women can teach the younger women to love the husband, love your children. But before we get down that list, think about this. Paul's telling Titus, teach the older men this. Okay? Teach the older women this. He doesn't say, teach younger women this. The older women are supposed to teach the younger women. Why is that? Well, one thing that I think it's a pretty good safe barrier there, in my opinion. How many times do you have and see a pastor, a youth pastor, a counselor that's a man, all of a sudden has marital problems with another woman because they're teaching them or they're giving them instruction or some other type of educational thing that's going on that they lead into a temptation, that they get into this relationship? And right here, I see Paul saying, let the older women teach the younger women. Protect yourself. Jeff, protect yourself. You know, hey, you don't have to have this counseling session with these younger women, because you teach the older men, you teach the older women, let the older women. Because, guys, I'm just saying, as a guy, I know how I am as a guy. We know where our heads can go. We're human. And we have temptations that come across our brain. And things happen. And then all of a sudden, you're out in no man's land and you're walking away from Scripture. I was talking about this morning. We were talking about it, how that sometimes just happens so quickly, the temptations. Titus, he's saying, let the older women teach the younger women. But older women, you're supposed to teach what is good. There's a job here for older women to teach the younger women. And what are they supposed to be taught? The list here. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. This can be a touchy one. But it's kind of like this. Women are supposed to love their husbands. Older women are supposed to teach younger women to love their husbands, right? I mean, that's the ideal world. So many times, husbands aren't showing the qualities to their wife of respect to allow that respect and that love to take place for the husband. Now, if the husband is doing what they're supposed to do as older men and be sound in what? Sound in faith, sound in love, sound in endurance, well then the younger wife should be able to love her husband a lot better if he's just being an idiot. I mean, is that not true, women? You don't have to raise your hand. You know, please keep your hand down. Cheryl, put your hand down. So, Dick, I just couldn't resist it. But men need to respect their wives. And men, going back there, if they're sound in love, that's much easier for their wife to as an older woman, to teach the younger women to love their husband. To be pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands. Man, that's a hard one right there. Not a hard one. But it's, you know, 100 years ago or whatever, we had the feminine movement. And everything that, and let's just kind of look at the reality. Women, we know there's a difference. There's a difference in DNA, there's a difference in body, there's a difference in many things between a man and a woman. We know at the beginning of time, God created Adam, and then he created Eve. If we look at scripture, not look at what the world says, but we look at what scripture says, what scripture teaches, and if we're supposed to hold to sound doctrine, healthy teaching, healthy instruction, then scripture is what we're basing this on. The feminine movement then comes, you know, hundreds of years ago, when it started, it was all based on equality. And let's go back, and we know in scripture, for many, many thousands of years, men have been segmented into a spot and women have been segmented into a spot. And we see it in scripture, and you can see it, how this division of men can do this, women are on the outs. They didn't count women into many things. Do I agree with that? No, I don't. I mean, I think women were created. They're the aspect of men and women of being equal, and how we see each other in today's society, I think, is a great thing. Women shouldn't be paid any less than a man. In my opinion, if they're doing the same work, hey, pay them the same amount of money, right? I mean, what's wrong with that? But should they be paid more just because they're a woman? No. Let's play fair. Because women have these qualities that guys, we know the women have qualities that can blow past some men, right? I mean, that's the truth. Men have some qualities that can blow past some women. And that's just the reality of life. There is a difference between a man and a woman. But Paul says, Titus, have the older women teach the younger women to be subject to their husband. That's, so the women's movement then, we got into for many years of women hate men, women don't get pregnant, women, it's your body, you control your body, and it is your body. Doesn't mean you can kill your baby, but it's your body. And they go on to these types of things that take place, but there's a difference. But women are supposed to love their husbands. When this takes place, this is where society, they look at this, and this is where I think Satan has been very devious and deceptive. Because this doesn't mean that the man is the king of your wife. Come on, woman. Get my food out. If I said that to my wife, I would have a shoe up. You know? So many times I kid with Jen and I'll be like, honey, you know, our relationship would just be so good if you would just listen and obey. You know, and she does not like that, but I kid. But that's not like, it's not the king mentality that scripture talks about a husband and a wife in the relationship there of love. That's not it whatsoever. It actually goes back to Ephesians 5, verse, I'm going to read this because I can't say it any other way. When you pull out Ephesians. Because it just breaks down this relationship of a husband and a wife. And it's this beautiful working together relationship between a husband and wife. If it doesn't work properly, it's kind of like a roof and gutter. So if it rains outside, I thought of this morning. So if it rains outside and all the water collects on the roof and goes down to the gutter, the roof and gutter are a beautiful thing. They're working good, right? The water rolls down the roof, the water collects in the gutter, down the drain, goes out the, you know, it's season, everything's fine. If there's a breakdown, the downspout falls off, right? The gutter breaks. There's a break in the system. Guess what? There's a big mess. So as you're walking outside this morning, you see that big stain of where the mulch is on the sidewalk. That's what happened. There was a big mess. Why? Because there was a breakdown on how the system was supposed to work. Satan says, I want to break that system down. I'm going to tell the world, let's break this system down. I'm going to tell the world, hey, women, you're better than men, or you're this and that. But it's a system. Scripture talks about a system. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of from which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Once again, be sound in your love, husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. Husbands, so the proper relationship that I see here is the system of a husband who's sound in their love, who understands Christ's love for the church. And husbands, we're supposed to be that same way for our wives. And for our family, meaning which? Means we are to give of ourself, just as Jesus Christ sacrificed his life for the church. I've always understood this to mean my responsibility as a husband and as a father, specifically a husband, my kids will grow up and move on, but to my wife, I am supposed to be as Christ was to the church. I should be able to put down my selfish ambition, myself, for who? For my wife. Out of respect, out of love, a healthy love, a sound, healthy love. That's what is being talked about here, not husbands for the king. Go in, turn, woman, where's my meal? No. That should not be. And we know other cultures that happens all over the world, actually. Proper way for a relationship is found right here in Ephesians. And that's where Satan has turned that and twisted that. So, young women, when you're looking for a spouse, when you're looking for, and I'm talking young women here because we didn't get to the young men yet. Young women, when you're looking for a spouse, you want to find these qualities that's talked about right here. Someone that has a quality of sound faith. They might not be fully developed in faith. I know when I was first getting married, I wasn't fully developed in my faith. But you have to be willing to want to grow in your faith. So you're looking for a guy who's sound in their faith. You're looking for a guy who understands love based on what Christ is to the church. And you're looking for a guy who can go the long haul. How many people in here have been married over 30 years? How many people over 40? How many over 50? Wow. Yeah, say first. How about 55? No one? Okay. What's the 58? 58. Okay. Maybe. So, you want young women. I'm not teaching you this. The older women are teaching you this. Okay. But you want a guy that's right there, found in Titus. A guy that is sound, healthy in their faith. A guy that is sound, healthy in their understanding of love, Christ to the church, and sound in their endurance. They're not going to just walk out the door when things get tough. And you have to go back to mommy and daddy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the groups of people that we could pull out and look at this morning. Thank you for the understanding, Lord, of how we as older men need to be living, what we need to have right in our life. I thank you for that we can see that. Lord, I also thank you that we can see how the older women are to teach the women, and those good things that they're supposed to be teaching, and it comes back to how it should be stepping up to the plate. And if we're old and if we're young, it doesn't matter. Help us as men to lead as we should, as Christ, as you, Jesus, gave your life for the church, for us, because you love us. Lord, help us to remember that in our walk this week. Help us to remember, as husbands, Lord, if we need to step up our game, help us to step up our game. As wives and women, if we need to step up our game, then so be that as well. Help that system that you have designed and created to be an understanding in our life so we don't end up like the gutter outside. A mess all over the walk. And I thank you for that example this morning, Lord. That was good. Lord, we love you. Help us to minister and reach people in our neighborhood. And we pray for DJ's church in Coachville that the words that were spoken last night can rest on people's hearts. That they, if they don't know you, will want to come to have an understanding of who you are and find you as their Savior. In your name we pray. Amen.